There was a cold open. I thought like a topic that I was gonna broach, but now I forget it. Do you
Okay.
remember what I was gonna say?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. You were gonna tell me how handsome and how articulate and possibly how well conditioned I am. Something along those lines.
It doesn't sound like me. It doesn't sound like I was gonna say what I was gonna say.
Are you
well conditioned?
No, that's why I was saying things kind of the opposite.
I know. Because of this whole thing, I have a bit of a muffin top, man. I do. And you know where it is? It's sitting right on top of my massive gut. That's the worst part.
I thought it was you had got a new t-shirt with a big blueberry muffin on it.
No, I'm cutting just before that. Hello and welcome to episode 542 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is
Adam, Vancouver.
What's going on in Vancouver, Adam? I ask every week and I mean it every week.
Been a lot of sunshine. There was a real thunderstorm last night, but it's been gorgeous. It's been just
thunderstorm in May?
Yeah, it was really loud, middle of the night, and really, really loud. I can't remember a storm like that in a long time. Now, I was only kind of half conscious at the time because it woke me up.
Did you get your Eddie Rabbit records out?
No, I didn't.
I love a rainy night. You know that one. You know that one. It's a beautiful sight.
You got to keep going. Sing a little more.
No, I can't. I'm not going to. It's a copyright issue more than anything.
Right.
Eddie Rabbit, big listener of the show.
But it was, it's been beautiful. So lots of great sunshine and inspirational for me to get out and shoot some photos.
It's nice. Yeah, we've gone the opposite way. I am very jealous of the sunshine. We've had a lot of rain and just kind of crappy weather right now. So I definitely, you're winning. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This week you've won. You won the week.
Okay.
So there's that. So you're getting out. Are you going to Steveston or are you bumping into the Panger? Are you seeing people? What's going on?
No, I haven't really bumped into many people, but I have been getting out, going for walks and, walking around Richmond and Steveston. Yep. Trying to get out on the rollerblades a little bit.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay. I bought new rollerblades for that. I've been on like three times. My kids were super excited, so I bought some to do it with them. And now it's been three times and the end.
That's kind of
so
works.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's great. Have you hit Pajos yet?
I have not. I do plan on doing it at some point, but I have not as of yet.
That's got to be the most like social distance friendly food there.
Probably. I mean, I think a lot of people on a nice weekend wind up there, so it might be very crowded and it might be a long wait to get food, but I don't know, because I've kind of avoided Gary Point on beautiful weekends, tried to go sort of in areas that might be a little less frequented.
Okay. For listening at home, there's Pajo's not a sponsor. That's Pat and Joanne started a fish and chip restaurant like 30 years ago now in Steveston. Now I have a couple of locations, and one of them is a takeout right at Gary Point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that seems to be
fantastic.
Busy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss that. I miss, it's one of those things that it's like Christmas dinner. You have it once a year, really, mm-hmm. I think. You know,
yeah, because, that's about our frequency as well.
Yeah, so check it out. And you know, hey, you're down where the Fraser River meets the Pacific Ocean, a nice breeze coming off. I think you'll be okay down there.
Yeah, that's kind of where I take, 38% of my photos, right down there where the fishing needle is and the nice water and rocks, and there's beach and driftwood, and it's a photographer's dream. It's a beautiful spot. There's a lighthouse. Can't miss there on a sunny day, especially magic hour.
Well, maybe go talk to Pajos and see if they'll sponsor the show.
Yeah, you could get like a fish and chips combo with a photo shoot.
Something like that. I just meant like give us some money, really. I don't, I'm not sure about the listeners.
What about fish? Yeah.
Yeah. Or, yeah, we could get, yeah, fish and chips every year. Once a year, we go for
fish. Sponsor us with fish, yeah.
Get the halibut, though.
Okay. All right. Halibut and chips. Not the Alaskan, what's it called?
The cod?
It's not cod even, but the other one. Is it cod? Is that the cheap one?
Cod is not cheap, but yes, it's the cheaper. It's cod, your basic fish and chips, and then you can upgrade to halibut.
Right. And then I think they even do salmon. Too. Yeah. I think they do it, but I've never had it. Seems weird to do salmon like that.
They should do shark. I've had shark and chips before in Australia. It's pretty good. It's called flake.
Okay.
So there you go. Patreon, Amazon. Patreon. Click on our link if you want to help us out. And subscribe. I think is it $2 a month is the minimum that we set? We being me. Actually, they set it. That was as low as I could really go and make it work. But we appreciate all the support. It's what keeps the lights on at the place where they have the server, where they host the show. That's where the lights are.
Okay.
Adam and I do it in the dark here.
Yeah.
So there's that. And plus Amazon still up there. Haven't touched it. Probably going to soon. I don't know. Whenever Bezos or Bill Gates makes me take it down.
Okay.
Although Bill Gates is kind of busy, it looks like. He's got other stuff going on. Having a tough week, really. So, oh well. There you go. What else? I know what's going on in Vancouver. What's going on in the world? Is it the end of masks, Adam?
No. We had this discussion. Me and you, but myself and others in the last week. And I feel in my world, in the world of kind of treatment and rehabilitation, it's not going anywhere for quite some time.
What's quite some time? What are your predictions on terms?
I'm going to say 2 years or forever. Yeah. I think it's definitely working with people in close proximity, strangers, I feel like it's not going anywhere for a very long time. But I think that now we're connecting medicine or rehabilitation with this sort of level of protection now. That's just my hunch, is I think we're going to be using masks. I hope that there's a day in the not too distant future where I can see the bottom of people's faces, but I think in terms of my work as a physiotherapist, I don't think it's going anywhere for a long time. And again, I'm okay with it. I've now worked in this way for at least a year, and I'm used to it. I would prefer to not have that be the case, but I'm used to it, and I'm fine with it. But yeah, my prediction is it's very closely now attached to safe practices in any kind of health field. So not going anywhere anytime soon. My prediction.
Okay.
Don't know if the same would be true in the US or not. I don't know, but I think in
Canada. They had a mask burning. That's why I asked. Since you and I spoke last, they had a mask burning party. So, and I've spoken to a couple of our listeners in the States. I've spoken to this week, and they've all basically, they are speaking about the pandemic in the past tense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and you'll hear like one of our guests later on, well, you won't, cause you won't listen, but he talks about it, you know, in the past tense, and it's not quite there in Germany yet. I mean, we're optimistic. Things are like numbers are falling, you know, we're opening up again. And, I anticipate that, the masks going away here, not all at once. I mean, I'm sure we'll have like, you know, in public transit and stuff like that for a little while. But I went to the eye doctor the other day because how often are you supposed to get your eyes checked, by the way? You know?
I have no clue, but I'm going to say once a year.
Oh. Okay, so I went this week, and then the one before that was 23 years ago.
Okay, I think that you probably are behind your schedule.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit behind. Like I'm like 480 months behind or something like that. And did I just do the math right? Yeah. No. Yeah. And then, I went and then, cause my eyes are good, except, like everything else, I'm super exceptional at pretty much everything always. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But all kidding aside, I've had very good eyesight for, you know, forever. That's how it works usually. And so I had like very good eyesight as a kid and then whatever. And so now it's fading because, you know, I'm an old man. Mm-hmm. However, it's still excellent. It's just not what it was. And so I was like, I better go get checked out. And so I had to go do that with a mask on, which is a delight. Because like she's like, okay, is this better or worse? I'm like, well, it's fogged up now. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very foggy. Experience. I've done it as well. Yeah.
Do I have glaucoma? That was my question. Yeah. So she took tape and she taped my mask down.
Yeah.
Even though they had one of those giant air filters in every room, like of the office. Like they had them going full blast, and the windows open and all that. And I was like, okay, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is really tough. So she taped it down, and I forgot that she had taped it. And when I left, I went and took my mask off and just ripped it off, and that did not feel excellent.
Mm-hmm. No, this is for someone who wears glasses. This is definitely a point that hits home. I've had to, you know, line my mask at work every day for the last year with a small sort of half strip of athletic tape along the top.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm there. Again, just now completely used to it. It works perfectly for any of those who have not figured this out this far into the pandemic. Athletic tape, half strip. You know, athletic tape comes in a sort of standard. I'm going to say it's about a 2-inch wide roll. You just do a little half strip. It doesn't even actually need to be an inch. It's probably closer to half of an inch. And you just put that right across the top and fogging glasses no more.
Okay, what about just getting like a glasses mask combination, like a full like a World War II gas mask, but with prescription lenses in them?
Probably also an option. If I were to get one, I'd want one of the ones that are tinted because that looks super tough.
Oh, like Darth Vader when he was flying the special TIE fighter.
Or like the Top Gun kind of guys flying the MiGs. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you flip it up and down. That's the move. that's how you do that. Yeah.
Small tangent. Oh, yeah, okay. What about Top Gun, which is supposed to be released like a year and a half ago?
I think it's coming out in November.
Okay. All right.
It's coming out this year. I will go see it. I've been excited to see that. I would have seen it last summer had it come out.
Right.
But they held it off. They know that's going to be a theater release, right?
That's what I'm sure they're thinking.
Yeah. But. Because there's so much streaming stuff that you know they started doing. Like they did that right when the pandemic started. I was looking forward to seeing that Tom Hanks movie Greyhound about the World War II boats.
Okay, I thought it was going to be a story about a guy on a bus.
Yeah, it was. That's exactly what it was. I had a joke about something. Oh, I had some other joke about that. I made a joke about the movie Zodiac and a boat this week. So good for you. Good for you for tying it back. Not even to you. That's just you tying it back in. Well done.
Right.
So I was excited to see that in the theaters. And then, of course, everything got shut down. And then Tom Hanks got the COVID, which I don't think that was related, but it was just coincidence. And then it was okay. We're gonna release it on Apple TV Movies Plus, whatever it's called. Terrible branding, by the way, guys. But so I watched it on there. I watched it on my computer essentially, and it was fine. But it would have been awesome in the movies in the theater.
Sure.
Yeah. Most stuff is. You know, I do like it. I know everyone talks about, oh well, yeah, you gotta stream it and everyone's streaming, and that's fine. It has a place, but you know. It's not the same as going in the movie theater. I'm looking forward to going back to that. So there's that. But good news about streaming, though. You know what just showed up on Amazon Prime?
What?
In Germany.
Okay.
Schitt's Creek.
Oh, nice. And you hadn't seen it all?
I have seen the first half of them because they were hard to find. Like I had to do some tap dancing in order to see them. And but my wife hadn't seen them. So I was kind of watching them on my own a couple years ago, whenever it was, or a year ago. And then now that we can watch them together. So we're partway through season one. She's a little put off because it's weird.
Is it English and then dubbed or what?
Oh, it's just in English. She's good with English. So it's just in English. And so she's just, it is, it's a quirky show, right?
I guess. Yeah. I love that show. So
yeah, she likes it now.
Quirky. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh no, it's definitely a quirky show. I mean, first of all, you got what's his name from Letterman there, Chris Elliott.
Yeah, he's a quirky. He brings the quirky for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, doing that. All right. That's it. And baseball probably starts this week for us, for my team. So excited by that. Get out and throw the old horse hide around.
Nice.
Reminder, monthly challenge this month for May is flowers. Either or. Flower or flowers. Mayflowers. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone shoots something to do with the pilgrims, I'm in. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I feel like that counts.
That'll definitely count. Or if you're in Quebec and you just like a fleur-de-lis, you could do that. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Okay. Hashtag that, two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers on the Instagram. Even better, both of those and tag us at two hosers, and we'll talk about that at the end of the month. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did. I did a walk around Steveston photo shoot, kind of an area that I usually don't do my typical photo shoots in. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I kind of walked. I walked with my wife and her sister. We do our Saturday dinners together. And so she comes over, or we go to her and we have dinner. And then it was a beautiful evening this last weekend on Saturday. And so they wanted to go for a walk into Steveston. I said, well, maybe we can turn this into a little photo walk and I'll take some photos of you guys. And they were on board. So we kind of did we probably went and walked for an hour, and we left at, you know, the perfect time, just about an hour before sundown, maybe 45 minutes before sundown. And then I kind of got them to stop in various places to take shots, just because, you know, the light was going to be different depending on whether we're shooting into it or with it behind us. And so I put some on my two hosers, Adam two hosers Instagram site. And then I just kind of quickly, you know, dropped a few in just, I don't even know that they're the same ones. They might be, some of them might be the same, but just to kind of show a range of some of the different photos we took, and I various crops. So there's one of Lisa where she's standing with the, in front of kind of boats where it's really blurred out. Everything is 85 mil on the 6D. And then I've got sort of open shade. So it's the boats kind of blow out in the background with the brightness. And then she's kind of in a spot of open shade, but the light's still really nice. So that's at the start of the walk. And then as we walked around, I showed one of my sister-in-law and wife where I'm shooting kind of right more lens flare.
Did you walk from your house?
Yeah, so we walked, it was a solid, I think we spent, I don't know, an hour? Yeah, so it was a good walk, but we...
No, I'm trying to lock down this location, because it looks, part of it looks like it's at the end of Two Road, which
yeah,
is a hike.
Yeah, it's basically the end of Two Road, yeah.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying, that's not a short walk from your house.
No, it's a good walk.
Yeah. Okay.
So we did, I'm showing you the opposite, shooting into the light, where you see they're very backlit and it's kind of blown out. So that's just basically into the sun versus back to the sun, or not even back to the sun in the first one, except for the sun's not directly on her. And then we go to the little spot where there's this little kind of mini pier, out as you walk kind of out and past where my clinic is, just at the end of, Two Road. So we were walking along there, and then there's this little spot which it jets out from the water, and it's we're across from Shady Island, and the sun is kind of like right at them. And so I used the little fence because I thought I liked the light, and you can sort of see where, you know, the fence shadow comes across their legs, and it's just kind of an interesting, cool blue background. You've got water, blue sky, a little bit of greenery. And then I showed that as a close up, just different options. Like the light is so great at this time that you pretty much just can't miss. It's just a matter of what do you want to see in the photo, what kind of poses do you want to use. And then I showed a tighter shot of my sister-in-law, where she's kind of in a relaxed pose up against the fencing there. And then one more as we walked a little further. This is like the one of my wife is a tight headshot where we're probably a minute before the sun dips down behind us. So the real gold light. So I haven't really done anything. There's no trickery here with Photoshop. This is just the light getting more gold in that last minute before it drops down. And then just the all those photos were taken, and they look all so different, except for the last couple maybe. And they were all taken within sort of a 45 minute span of each other. So just go do this. Go on a nice night before sundown and just go walk around and shoot portraits. It's better than anything you can do with artificial light is what I find. So
indeed.
Yeah, there you go. So I don't do enough of this. And when I do it, I come back with all these photos that I love, and I'm like, oh my gosh, why wouldn't I do that more? And especially where I live and water and mountains and just all kinds of cool backgrounds to work with. So
you got McKinney House right there and London Farm.
I don't know the names of any of these things, but
it's right where you're standing, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Sorry, I like the headshot of my wife. That one, I just love the light, and she's got
nice
smile, nice head tilt. The one of my sister-in-law kind of leaned up on the fence too, is a nice kind of casual. She's pretty good at falling into natural looking poses. And so it's really easy when you get people that, you know, are comfortable having their picture taken, but don't necessarily, it doesn't look forced in any way. So these two are both good at having their photos taken. That's what I've come to realize.
Yeah. No, those last two, I saw them. They both, they're using them as their Tinder profiles. So
sure. Sure. Yeah. All right. Now I that's an awkward giggle that I just gave. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What about you? Anything interesting?
Another baseball game, really. That was it. And just loving that angle I shoot. And so just grabbed a couple of shots of good timing. I got one of my buddy Pedro making good contact.
Nice.
Although I don't know why he's swinging a composite bat. I thought they have money for wood bats. Do you guys use those? You know what a bomb bat is?
I've heard of it. I don't know that anyone uses those here, but
well, you wouldn't need to. You're allowed to, like, your kids are allowed to swing metal. Like, we're not allowed to swing metal, obviously.
And, but some of them, next year, a lot of the kids that Jack plays with will have to use wood. So I think they next year they go up, and if you play on the top level when you're 13, so it's called 15U here, but when you're when you move up, right now they're 13U, but next year a lot of them will go into the next league. And if you play on the top level there, you have to use wood. And
as you should, actually. Yeah, it's much better. But we can swing wood here, obviously, certain brands. That's a weird thing. But then there's also a couple of different versions of composite bats you can use. Like, they make some that has a composite handle, like glued onto like a maple barrel, which I don't care for. And then there's another one, which is essentially like this, called a bomb bat, which is like a wood, sort of like a replica wood. Like, it behaves as if it's wood in terms of the ball coming off the bat. But it's like got like a metal rod in it, and then it's packed with something, and it's got some sort of a, I don't even know what it is. They're about $250 or something like that. But the idea is they don't break. So you get all the wood, but they don't break, which is not great. They eventually will break after a while, and it doesn't feel like wood. So I just noticed it right now. And so when Jack swings wood, we'll talk, you know, wood bats another time when okay. He's up. So there's right. That one, and then I got a guy on the left hand side who just hit this guy had a day, hit four doubles in a row, like four consecutive plate appearances, hit a double.
Wow!
And I thought that was pretty cool. And so here he is kind of doing like a little bit of an Ichiro, hitting the ball to left field and running out of the box all at once. So
yeah, looks like a dance, move.
Yeah. So anyways, that's all just shot. That's pretty much all I shot. It was, like I said, kind of crappy weather. I managed to swing in and and in between rain delays on these games. But boring besides that.
Okay.
All right. Photo challenge this week was hair light. And I based that, what did I base that on? Something we shot last week.
I don't remember.
Yeah, whatever. So let's have a look at yours, because yours looks like it's tied in with, or maybe it's a different time.
No, it's same night. Before we left for our walk, I thought, okay, I'm gonna go non-traditional hair light. I'm going to go massive amount of light from the sun on the hair and call that hair light. So this is, basically just, I don't know.
That's a code word for my lights are way over there.
Yeah. No, but I actually thought it'd be interesting. Plus I thought, well, I don't want to do the same kind of thing that you're going to do. So
right.
I knew what you were going for, and I thought I was going to zag while you were going to zig. So I called it afterwards. I did not see your photo when I took this, but I'm like, okay, good. He went with what I thought he was going to do, and I did not. But this is definitely hair light. This is the sun. And just, again, I love this effect, not for the hair light specifically, but for just doing this, kind of shooting into the sun at just enough angle to get a whole bunch of lens flare, but still not so much lens flare that it obstructs the faces and the activity. It's just sort of a halfway in the middle, and the mood it strikes is really complemented by, you know, the fact that they're having a glass of wine and cheersing. Like, I really think that this goes as a summer photo, happy, like it makes me happy seeing photos like this. So
indeed, like getting that kind of washed out, like that lower, like it lowers the contrast, brings up the shadows and all that. Yeah, that means it's something you can do in post. You clearly didn't. You wouldn't get this exact effect. Like I'm saying, if you wanted to duplicate this on some other kind of photo, not into the sun, that you didn't have maybe the sun flaring, you can bring up the shadows and stuff like that. I prefer to do it in camera like you did here. But I do like this. And the cool thing is, if you change your mind, you can always bring down those blacks, like crush those blacks or increase the contrast in post if you want to.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So you got, or really, you know, change the saturation, whatever. I mean, but I do like this effect, and I don't do this very often, but when I do it, I'm like, I like it. But maybe that's because I don't do it very often, like anything. I think if I did this all the time, it would get old pretty quickly. But again, it strikes a nice balance with summer and mood, because you only get this light at this time of year, you know, when you might be, or unless you're having a glass of wine at lunch, I guess that's doable too. But this is a Saturday evening kind of photo.
Flare, though.
Yeah, it would be a different flare. But yeah, this is a Saturday evening photo. And again, I like fences. I like to just position people by a fence. Like, it's a nice neutral background that gives something in the background, but it's not too distracting. And it's kind of almost like a paper roll or anything. You get to have just enough, like, and I don't mean a paper roll. I mean, like a muslin background where of a fence. Like, I just like,
yeah.
Yeah, I just like that it's there, but it really isn't there. It doesn't distract anything. But yeah, fences. I look for fences.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm just thinking for next week's challenge. I had something else in mind, but perhaps we'll do not necessarily fences, but a cool background. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a cool
background. Sure, cool background.
Yeah. All right. So I did go the other way. I went with the full studio setup because I wanted to illustrate how important a hair light is.
Okay.
And so this is four lights here. Well, it was four lights. It ended up being three, three and a half. We'll call it three and a half for this. I was going to basically do a key light and then a fill, but the fill light was just too much light. And so I brought that, like, that was in an umbrella, camera left. So instead I just brought it in right out of frame, the umbrella, and let that act as a bounce. Turn the flash off in that setup. And so had the key and then the bounce with that umbrella, a light on the background, and the all-important hair light.
Okay.
What is my daughter doing?
She's looking very serious. This almost reminds, if you put a tiny little, one of those square caps with the tassel on it, this looks like a graduation photo. Like that, like the wine colored background or maroon or whatever you want to call that, the way it's lit, it's
chartreuse.
It screams of grade three graduation. No, what grade is she in?
Four.
Grade four graduation. Yeah. Yeah.
For our American listeners, that's fourth grade.
If she had one of those, you know, what those black ponchos, what are those called? Those graduation robes, whatever they are.
Yeah, graduation poncho, they call it that. Yeah,
with the little, what's the square cap called?
I don't know. Mortar? Is it a mortar hat or something?
I don't know, but that this for sure is her grade four graduation photo. Not the pink sweatshirt, though. That doesn't mesh with the vibe here.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that wasn't the vibe I was going for. Like she's pretty aware of sitting for a photo now. Like it used to be, you could sit her down, make her laugh, you know, but the things that make her laugh now don't make her laugh anymore. You know, she likes highbrow stuff, big Arrested Development fan. You know,
I don't know. Right.
Like, oh, Tobias Funke makes her howl. It's great. But
she's watching reruns of Frasier. That's highbrow. Right?
Oh yeah, that's what it is. No, she's big Monty Python fan. So I couldn't quite coax the look. And so I sat down, lit it, and I wanted to make sure I got the nice catch lights in the eyes. For some reason, the one in her left eye is a little bit dimmer than the one in her right, which I'm not 100% sure why. Because the light is camera right, and it's not very far out. I was very, very aware of the positioning of the light in order to get those perfect catch lights, like right in that sort of, 2 o'clock position in the clock.
Mm-hmm.
She's just kind of got that, like she's mouth is open, but her lips are closed and weird looking, and yeah, she's confused. I don't know what's going on here.
Okay.
So it's the thing is I'm not thrilled with it because I look at this after and I thought, like, if this was a client hired me to do this, they wouldn't pay me.
Well, they might. They'd pay,
like,
you.
Well, like all the elements are there. It's like, yeah, okay, fine. He brought his lights. You know, he has lights. And the light is, you know, it's nice. It's soft and directional, and he lit it and the hair and all that stuff. It's all the elements are there. But I guess the sum of its parts, just, you know, don't care for it.
I think it's a little bit, you're right. Like her smile isn't there. Her posture is very rigid. Like it's good posture, but it's very rigid. And and so that doesn't scream grade four graduation to me.
Well, that's German slouching right there.
Okay.
So yeah. I also took another one without the hair light, which is actually a slightly more casual look.
Except, for sure.
Except she looks like she just finished hotboxing her car and watched Dazed and Confused. That's what she looks like there.
Right. Yeah.
Which is uncool. But that's without the hair light, just to illustrate how important that top hair light is.
Right.
So the hair light is just camera right and behind her, like just out of frame, basically pointing straight down. And all it does, all it serves to do is just light up her hair as you know, the name lets you know, just to kind of give you that separation at the top. And so without it, you know, you look at that picture, like if you saw that one first, you'd be fine with it. But then you see the hair light, you're like, oh yeah, you need that. So overall, you know, kind of wish I had phoned it in like you.
Okay.
Yeah. Whoops.
Yeah.
Anyways, hair light's important. All right, topic this week. It's getting hosed. Another getting hosed episode. The first one technically getting hosed.
Twice.
Yes. Twicely hosed.
Part deux.
Right, the second round. And so I spoke with listener and frequent contributor. That can't be a title. Frequent contributor?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's not getting, it makes sense, but you can't, I can barely spit it out. It makes me mealy mouthed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, Scott Broey, I think is how you say it. Now, here's the thing: is in the interview, I start off right away by butchering his name.
Is it? How do you spell it? Spell it for me.
B O R O W Y.
Borowy.
I've been saying Borowy the whole time.
Yeah, too bad it's not Browy. And if you had big brows, that would be awesome.
Well, yeah, we get into it. Okay. we start off with, there's a good, the first 40 minutes is basically his name.
Okay.
He's nice enough to explain it to me, which I just repeat back and butcher it again, right in his face. Okay. I'm either a jerk or an idiot.
Yeah.
Both can be true. I don't know why I have to pick, actually.
Yeah.
I could be both. So that's how we start off, but then we get into it. Do you know where he lives?
No.
You're not going to listen, so I'll tell you.
Okay.
This is a magical place that I thought sounded made up.
Disneyland. He lives at Disneyland.
Rhode Island.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's an actual place. I thought it was the fake island in Jaws.
It also happens to be where Lamar Odom played his college basketball.
Oh, no, everyone knows that. Yeah, I watched the Kardashian show.
Okay, all right. I didn't watch that.
He was on that, right? That was the guy who was on the Kardashian
show. Yeah,
right?
He was married to one of them. But no, I'm not a fan of the Kardashian show. Just was a Lamar Odom fan in college. Okay. Yeah, college basketball. He was the next Magic Johnson, but then did not live up to the hype.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. There's that. So without further ado, let's check in and find out all about listener Scott Borowy. We're rolling. Okay. This is it. This is in the show, where Scott, you're already on the air. So
it's our intro in, right?
No swears. That's the rule here.
That's the rule.
It's a clean show. So Scott. I probably didn't do the intro in the show because we record tomorrow and Adam won't be prepared. So this is episode 2 of our segment 2 of, did we land on a name for it yet? We had a lot.
I don't know. I think it's still up in the air.
I thought getting hosed was the best one, but Adam is particular to Hoser's Corner, which means nothing to you, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, it could be getting hosed in the corner.
Yeah, but it's a play on a Canadian segment on Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's far removed from me.
Right, so that's not making it down south, I'm guessing.
No.
So you don't know who Don Cherry is?
No, I don't.
Okay, so we're going to go with getting hosed. That's what we're sticking with for now. So with me is Scott, and I'm gonna hopefully get your last name right. Borowy?
No, you know, and I never wanted to bring it up. It's good. Borowy.
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 Like bro code, though.
No, like bore o e.
Borowy.
Like hopefully I'm not boring.
Oh, okay. It sounds like you want to borrow money. Like, how about Scott? He's a little bit borrowy.
Yes, sure. Let's go with it.
Okay. Yeah. He'll take your stuff and he won't bring it back. He's a bit borrowy. So now we know after what it has been like 4 years of submitting to the monthly challenges, and now I can finally get your name right.
Right, and I have sticky fingers, apparently.
Indeed. Or just a lackadaisical attitude towards returning things. So, Scott, where do we start? I mean, I in prepping for this one, I decided that, you know, I'm going to go back and check your feed again, which on Instagram, which I had done before. But then I thought... Yep. Well, also, I'm going to go back because we have, you know, DM'd back and forth over the years.
Yes.
And I guess I just realized today that you were the same guy on a number of different things, like a number of different DMs, which I like from way back when I thought it was like somebody else.
Maybe for the best.
No. But now I'm thinking, like, we might be related. I mean, you've given me running tips. You've given me, what else was there? There's a lot of tips in there.
Well, I feel like, yeah, we did this strengths thing for work, obviously, to pump more productivity out of you. But two of my strengths are being a relator and being adaptable. So I can kind of mimic and go with the flow. But, you know, I feel the same way. For yourself, Alan, and with Adam, that there's a lot of crossing interests, and we could all be family. And maybe that's just because the podcast is the connecting piece. But you know, I feel like I know you. I feel like it's a weird take on a Genesis song where, you know, Phil's watching TV or whoever the character is, and you kind of know the person, but you're also a stalker.
Right.
And I don't want to be the stalker, or the stalker with sticky fingers. But you know, I do like the conversation. I feel like I play back conversations in my head that I might have with Adam or yourself after every episode. You know, we already talked about Lou Diamond Phillips, and now I'm your backup plan. But there's always the past tense pandemic. I feel like I'm one of those listeners too, who is now, you know, America's come out of the fire. People, not everybody, but a good portion of people are getting vaccinated. They accept science. We're moving forward. Summer is right around the corner. I went out and hugged people without a mask on. It was surreal. It was nerve wracking. It was everything. All nice. At once.
Now that you mentioned that, watching that happen in the U.S., obviously we see it on the news, and the fog's lifting here in Germany. I wouldn't say we're obviously not where you guys are, but it is inspiring and it's very optimistic to see that that's a thing that can happen. And so I think the whole world's kind of watching and pretty excited.
I love a good underdog story, and I feel like we are, after so many years, the underdog is finally coming to the forefront.
Wait, America's the underdog?
Oh, maybe. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think you're Apollo Creed, I think. The
which version? The one that's on the mat?
And
getting carried out, or the strong one?
No, the one for the first one and a half movies.
Okay, we'll take it.
Yeah. so you live in America. Whereabouts?
Yes.
Are you located?
I'm a transplant from Eastern Pennsylvania. I've been now in Rhode Island for 21 years, so more than half of my life has been Rhode Island. So I have to say I'm a Rhode Islander, for better or worse. And I know, you know, back to our point, like there's been a few discussions about Rhode Island, and I'm like, hey, I live there, like the smallest state, and yeah, it comes up in the podcast.
If you were to sit down and write down every one of the 50 states from memory, the one you'll forget is Rhode Island.
Yes.
Not you. I'm sure you'll probably start with that. But
right.
Even people in Massachusetts, I'm assuming, you border Massachusetts. I had to look on a map, actually, to remind myself what is Rhode Island?
Officially, it's, well, not anymore. I think they're moving to change it. But it's the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations, which I know this always comes up too. Not so much of a slave trade kind of thing, but there were plantations and mills here. Rhode Island is half landlocked, and then there's Portsmouth and the islands, which people would hear about Newport, right? Like it's out on this island. That's part of it. But, you know, it's more than anything, it's just a pain in the butt to drive around. Let's put it that way.
Okay. It looks pretty small.
It's tiny. You know, Pennsylvania's east to west of the state is 6 hours to drive through. You can get anywhere here in about 30 minutes. And that's a lie. I'm lying. 30 minutes as the crow flies. The tough thing here is if I want to get to the bottom of the state to certain points, it's maybe an hour and a half.
Okay.
It's just the jagged coastline really, really makes things tough to move, like I said.
But it's beautiful, right? Like, is it right out of the, what was the boat movie with Clooney? What was he in? The Perfect Wave, something like that.
Perfect, yeah, sure. I was going to say Jaws, but I know it's not Clooney, but it is more Jaws. Yeah, it's a rocky coastline. It's a working harbors. If you like that kind of stuff, this is the place for you. I prefer maybe more unspoiled beaches as you go south, maybe in the New Jersey kind of area, down to Florida. I don't like to have to navigate and worry about breaking my ankles, but there is a beauty to it. You know, and I even have in one of my notes here, there's a lot of privatized land. So okay. Not everything's accessible.
Do you have to pay to go to the beach?
Some okay. you need a beach pass. You get from the town. If you're a local, I think it's a little easier on you, but you know, not every beach is free and you do have to pay for some beaches.
Okay. See, that was a major culture shock when I came to Europe, and like you go to a lake or some, you know, and they want you to pay. Like there's a big lake not too far from where we live, called Lake Constance in English, mm-hmm. Bodensee auf Deutsch. And, I thought, oh, that's the first time I went down there. My wife and I, before we had kids, we'll go down. This would be great. I mean, it's the border of Switzerland and Austria. I want to go for a swim. No, you're not. You're not going to go for a swim. It's all basic. Most of it is pretty much private, and you have to pay to get in and whatnot, which was crazy coming from Canada where, you know, everything's free.
Yeah. It is. I mean, I guess I'm used to it. There are a few beaches down south, like I said, in New Jersey, that you don't have to pay. They're big state or town sponsored beaches, and it's nice to move around. But that's not life in New England.
Okay, so what took you from Pennsylvania to Rhode Island?
College. You know, I went to a university here. I graduated, went back for a year, and then I just got a job with the same university. Somebody remembered me and kind of pulled me out of the hometown trenches, as it were, and I've just made a life here.
It's funny how that goes. I came to Germany for a year 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And here I am, you know, and it's an old saying that I think it's said at every single wedding you've ever been to. It's, you know, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. But
yes.
Yeah. So what is your job? What do you do for a living?
So my degree is for web design and some type of development, and I gave that up maybe 7 or 8 years ago and went into project management.
Yeah,
so
thanks, Squarespace.
Yeah, thanks. But you know, I was going to mention as we were getting through some of the technical issues of syncing up here, blame it on the project manager.
Right.
that's basically what I do every day.
I see.
You know, I schedule things for people, try to get them to do their own work, and, you know, try and give myself work. So it's a very self-motivating job, and the pandemic hasn't made it any easier.
I bet. It must have introduced a whole... Well, I find that with, like, my father-in-law, who is in his 70s, you know, I become his IT, his de facto IT person, and that's not easy. And so when you introduce a whole set of variables into the daily work, where it's, everyone's at home now, you have to deal with their computers, their connections, et cetera, that can't make it easier.
Right. You know, it's four times the communication, and that's not a scientific count, but I feel like mm-hmm. people can dodge your calls. I can't walk across buildings and just hijack somebody when I know they're trying to avoid me. Emails, accountability, it's all extra and it's all exhausting.
Right.
But some people love it.
I don't like those people. I've been very vocal about that, more so offline than online. We try to not go too deep on the show, but I've heard a lot of people who are sort of enjoying the quote unquote new normal, and I've cut them out of my life. I'm not wearing masks when this is all. Obviously, you guys are post mask. We're getting close to that. I shall not be doing it once we no longer have to. And I look forward to seeing people in person and that interaction. It's like same with my kids. My kids cannot wait. They went back to school today for the first time in, I don't know, a month and a half. And, you know, they're excited. They had to test for COVID still and wear masks all day. But just the fact that they could go back with half of the kids in their class was exciting to them.
Yeah, it's refreshing. I think what we're seeing in higher ed is some universities, some public schools are making it mandatory to be vaccinated when you go back.
Right.
Not every business is, and you can't guarantee who's going to be vaccinated. So I think businesses, they're going to be buttoned up with a face mask for a while, and that's going to be maybe a late summer restriction. Again, not official. That's just my call. It's going to take a lot longer for people to lose the masks in business.
So living in Rhode Island, married, kids?
So I think, you know, Chrissy, pharmacist, married to her, wonderful, wonderful woman. She keeps me grounded. She makes me better. You saw the picture of the list of everything I was writing down, to crunch, to try and find something important to talk about, or at least worth time to talk about. But, she's definitely my better half, as I think most husbands would say. No kids, as people would see on my Instagram. It's a combination of challenge photos, vaccination, and then Yoda, who is our 14-year-old Pekingese, and he's sleeping, you know, within earshot of me right now, but he doesn't seem to mind. So that's good.
And so how did you get into photography? And what do you shoot? Do you shoot just for fun? Do you shoot pro stuff? Where do we start?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this, and I put a lot of thought into it, and I'm not sure. You know, my grandfather always had a film camera around his neck. I don't think he was super into the processing and the art, but he was capturing memories for the family, and I was always interested in it. Like, oh, he's got this camera, he's got this flash, it looks complicated. But when I started out, it was just I got a Canon. I'm a Canon guy, for those listening, so you're going to hear a lot of Canon stuff. One of those PowerShot SX40, I think the model was, where you could zoom for like a mile in one lens. It wasn't the best lens, but it was a great all around camera. And I kind of graduated up from there, crop sensor to full frame, and now I'm in full frame mirrorless with an R6. But that's kind of the tech lineage of where I went. But what really interested me was, when I was a web coordinator, my first role with the university that I work at, we got a Rebel XTI, and I just loved that you could have this device in your hands that you could control the depth of field. You know, I would take pictures of the most random things just to play with depth of field and see the bokeh and enjoy it. And you're like, wow, you just can't get this anywhere else. And I don't think today, even with smartphones and AI, they're trying, but you just can't replicate what an interchangeable lens and a professional or even entry-level DSLR, it doesn't have to be professional, but a DSLR and an interchangeable lens, you just can't recreate that with anything else. And it's fascinating.
No, that was the big jump when I went to film school in 1998. That was when the first digital video cameras, the Sony VX1000, came out. And people were going nuts. Like, oh, this is it's revolutionary. This is amazing. But nobody could figure out how to crush that depth of field. Like that was the one thing. The sensors were so small, and there was all sort of kind of, you know, crazy things you could do. Like, you'd have to, you know, back up as far as you could and zoom in. And even then, you'd still get everything in focus. And so I remember, like, the thing that I liked the best. I took a lot of film pictures as well. And so I was very accustomed to depth of field, and then shallow depth of field, I mean. But then being able to do it on a digital, like with an actual camera, like a digital camera, was just mind-blowing to me. Right. So like that was a big jump. And then, of course, the film that you could start shooting videos on the Mark II, that was revolutionary to me.
I can only imagine in your lifetime and mine as well, but the advancements that we've seen, that, you know, every year, every generation just doesn't get to experience, for better or worse, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if people want to huff chemicals in a dark room, and spend time with that. I think there's some romance to it. I've never done it. I'm kind of curious. But again, that's another investment, another path of photography to go down. And again, I don't want to center on the pandemic, but I think a lot of introspection from my part is energy. You know, what do I really have the energy to focus on? You know, to your question, I kind of got started with photography. I had my general point and shoot, people, places, things, you know, whatever. I think at that point it was so general, I didn't really have a direction or a specificity. And then when I got involved with Chrissy, her mother, my mother-in-law, was into birding. So I kind of gravitated towards that. And that checks a few boxes for me. I like I like the exploration. I like the discovery. I like kind of the thrill of the hunt, if you will, where you're, I don't want to say stalking, but you're actively working towards a subject that could more or less care less about what you're doing. They're trying to survive and they're going to respond to you as a predator. So there's a bit of a thrill in being able to get a shot. There's a patience to it. Back to the energy thing. I'm more of a, I can sit, I can be patient, I can enjoy something and wait for the scene to come. Mm-hmm. That's not everybody's cup of tea, but I think it's kind of a predecessor or a requirement if you wanted to get into bird photography. And I don't have a tarp or camo or a blind that I sit in. I think it's purposeful. But again, I don't really have the place to use that here. I'll put on some tan clothes and lay on the beach for a little bit and hope a shorebird walks by.
And I'm looking at some bird photos on your Instagram feed as well. But you have a wide variety of interests, it looks like, photographically.
Yeah, and you know, I think the challenges that we put it, well, not we, but Adam and you put out on the podcast, really kind of help in the direction. I have a book from Rick Salmon called Photo Quest, mm-hmm. which has some advice and similar ideas about, you know, how to get over roadblocks, things to go explore. You know, there's a lot that I just enjoy doing and I like pushing myself. So I guess it is what the feed shows. It's just an enjoyment, you know, and different scenarios, different times of my life, that enjoyment and fulfillment and subject matter would change. I think birds has been the consistent one though.
So what have been the roadblocks that you found?
You know, time and energy. I think not having the social aspect. I feel like I was more of a general photographer. I would do more things if we were out in public. You know, some friends would ask for portraits, and then that would compel me to bring out flashes, bring out, you know, I have some alien bees, bring them out and do some portraiture, do some photography, do some sense of place things. But now that's kind of shut down.
Right.
And again, you know, being where I am, I don't want to sound like I'm not grateful, because Rhode Island, you get a beach, you get farmlands, you get countryside. It's all right here within 15 minutes of running. I can experience all three. It really is a great place, but there's a time and a place for things, regarding birds, that you're only going to see certain things at a certain time of the year. And for anybody who knows Rhode Island, who's listening, and this could be for any state or country, there's kind of this meme going around to say there's really 12 seasons. It's not just the basic four. There's a fake spring, there's pollen, there's, you know, bugs, you know, add to the mix. There's not always the ideal conditions to go out and shoot. Now that the beaches are going to open up, I think one of the things that's conducive to bird photography is lighting. You know, you want the light and the wind behind you. Birds typically will fly into the wind. They'll take off into the wind. So if you want good light and you want the birds to come at you, make sure the sun and the wind are behind you as much as possible. And good times to do that: morning, evening.
Right.
Ridiculously early in the morning. Again, to the state I live in, to get to a good place in Rhode Island to do some bird photography, it's about an hour and a half away. So if I want to get there for dawn, you're talking about 2 a.m. waking up, 2:30.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that.
No. And you have children. So you're an early riser. I kind of see, as we've communicated through time, like how you're active, and I feel like you just have energy to spare. You're always up,
right,
doing something. So I don't know when you sleep.
I try to get it down to a few hours a day. Otherwise, there's no time. Which is funny, even in the pandemic. Like, I think in the last year and a half, I've had exactly one nap, which is absurd. You'd think there'd be more time for that.
You know, that's another thing that you bring that up. I'm a floor napper as well. It came up in the podcast, and I'm like,
it did.
I can nap anywhere at any time. Just give me a place to lay, and I'm there.
Yeah, well, that comes in handy. But you also build computers, it looks like. That was one of your challenge photos.
Yeah, so that was, I am not mechanically inclined. I am not electrically inclined. Like, there's a lot of things that I just won't touch, my car. But there's something about a computer. Like, once you build your first computer and you have this, you know, $500 very fragile processor in your hand, I just jam it in. Like, I'm not worried about it.
Right.
And it's not gonna stop me from getting anywhere. It's not going to start a fire in the house. It's not going to put water all over the place. I'm okay with that. And the same with woodworking. You know, I know, Adam loves his hot woodworking talk, and we won't go there, but
no, we are going to go. He's not going to listen to this.
That's right. He won't.
No, I used my gripper today. I use it every day, but I use it today. And I remembered that was you. You suggested to get the gripper. So I got one.
Yeah, it's certainly made me more aware. It's made me more present. And I think that's a skill that is something that works for photography as well. Like being aware, and not being complacent and just being able to enjoy it. But be safe and cognizant of what you're doing. I think they all play together. I think they're good hobbies that work well.
As do I, which is why I kind of laugh when Adam bristles at the mere talk of woodwork, is I see a huge connection between the two. Especially, mm-hmm. especially back to the film days, I guess, because you have to be a little more careful when you're shooting film. But it applies to photography as well. But I like the idea, exactly what you're saying. Like, you have to be completely committed to the moment, which is really easy to not do when you're taking photos, or, you know, your kids are kind of checked out and like, fine, dad, hurry up and take it. Or you're trying to hurry up and you know, move on to the next thing. I take better photos when I'm committed to the moment.
Right. And we talk about roadblocks. I think that's a roadblock. You have to make a choice, and it could be on a walk in the woods. You know, we have woods behind our house. Do you want to enjoy the moment, or do you want to photograph the moment?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've taken a lot of photographs and you don't really, you can't make a connection unless you're through that photograph. You're looking at a photograph and saying, okay, you know, I remember taking this photograph, but life just happened without me.
Indeed. And there's a lot of that. And that actually is one of the sort of byproducts of the digital age, is that, you know, each photograph is essentially free. Once you've made that initial investment, each one is free monetarily, but not time-wise. And you end up doing that. Like, there's a stretch where I would take, like, when my daughter was born, she's my oldest. I mean, I took an absurd number of photos of her, and I'm glad I have them. But, and I didn't miss, you know, I didn't miss out on anything. I was there for things, but I could see very quickly how you could miss out. Like, you take more pictures than you look at. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it goes back to the energy for me. Do I want to go through 1,000 high burst photos to find the one perfect bird shot with the right angle? I mean, I have a 5-point checklist of how I rate photos. I don't think anybody but myself agrees with it, because there are a lot of acceptable photos that I just won't accept.
Sure.
But, you know, it's, the technology makes it exhausting. I kind of like the simplicity of walking around with my iPhone, and if I see something, I don't have to worry about settings. I don't have to worry about trying to bring this lens out or disrupting anybody or making myself known. I just pick the phone up and press a button, and it's done.
That's one of the things I liked the best about digital photography at its inception. When it first started to become the norm, like pre-cell phone, but everybody was getting like the 2 or 3 megapixel point and shoots that were very small. And you started to see photographs of events that you had just never really been photographed on a widespread thing. Like pictures of when you were a kid, like there's things that you went and did that nobody ever has a photo of, and why would they? But now you're capturing all these sort of offbeat moments and between friends or family or whatever it is. And it kind of opened up a whole new world for me.
Yeah, and I think that makes it a struggle too. Just technology and the volume of photography. Everybody I don't want to take away from the professionals who make a living, but everybody is kind of a photographer now, just like everybody can make a website now. And it's not about the quality. It's about how you market. And I think that that trends on social media, it trends on life, because I saw a lot of people when I was doing websites more actively that just had garbage websites.
Yeah.
And the same with garbage photography. And I'll make that, I don't always have the best photography. I'm not saying I'm the best, and I never will, because there's always somebody better and they're probably getting paid for it. But there can be bad product and good marketing and people love it. You know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with Instagram. I happen to bump my name and they're asking me, do you want to make new accounts to interact with this group of people, that group of people. I just want one account. It's not a business. I'm not going to go through tagging, making reels, making stories. It's too much. And it's not, I think, the few things that I do know about myself and where I want to go with photography. I know that's definitely not the place I want to go.
Good. I say good because I feel the same. I don't get it. You know, I don't get a lot of things, though. I mean, you even brought up a word today when we were texting back and forth.
And Chugi.
Chugi.
Yes.
I've seen it in print. Didn't know what it, like, I, doesn't it just mean normal, like a normal person? Is that what it means?
I think it's a nice way to cancel somebody. I think it's another cancel culture kind of name or term, but to describe someone who's out of date or trying too hard.
Okay.
And I think even the person who's getting the credit for Chugi isn't the person who invented it. I think somebody came across this thing, this word that somebody put out 8 years ago, if Urban Dictionary is any indication, and they said, well, I'm going to bring this back and I'm just going to run with it. But
okay.
it's 15 minutes. You know, I think society has done a wonderful job of derailing attention spans, if not decimating them. So this is the hot thing right now. Let's talk in a month and we'll see if things are still chuggy or not.
I wasn't paying attention.
I think there's actually a shirt like that.
yeah.
You know, it's
the dude. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cancel culture. It's a flash in the pan. It's whatever it is today. It'll be different soon.
Okay. Well, I guess maybe I'm too. Yeah, I don't even know. I'm not sure if I qualify, but I'm going to put you on the spot as we wind up here.
Okay.
I wish I'd thought of this the first time around, but I think it should be up to the guest to pick which listener I interview next. Who do you want to hear from? That's the thing.
Well, I've already made it publicly known to Bob Bernal Jr. That I do like his stuff. I feel like he's in a great scene out in LA. He takes a wide variety of subjects and he's really good at it. But I don't want to sleep on other people too. I feel like picking a name is an affront to a lot of the great photographers that follow this.
Well, here's an affront to you. You were the second choice. My first choice actually was Bob.
And as it should have been.
True story, but he snubbed us. He's a busy guy.
He is, and good for him, because yeah. He is, whether it's personal or he's getting something for his efforts, he's always, you know, I think it's the ABCs, right? Always be creating.
Yeah.
And he is always creating.
He has that wonderful combo of, like, it's everything he shoots, or everything he posts, at least, is interesting. Like, automatically I'm in, like, it visually, socially, there's a whole bunch going on, and it's a as you say, a scene that I'm not part of. I don't live in Los Angeles, and even if I did, I don't know that, like, I'm inherently not embedded in that scene, and that's what I love, which is why I love talking to that's why I want to talk to a lot of the listeners and the contributors, because there's stuff I don't know about Rhode Island. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
The day-to-day life. And I am genuinely fascinated by, first of all, the concept of other people, which is nice. Because you don't think about it. When you walk around in your life, you don't look at some stranger and think, hey, I wonder what he does. What did he have for breakfast today? You know, they're just extras in your movie, right?
You're right.
I think I'm assuming most people think of that as a default, not in a bad way. I'm genuinely interested.
Yeah, and you know, there is an interest too. There's always an appeal to the unknown for me. It's just, do you know what you're going to find? And I'm sure this talking to listeners in this segment kind of breaks the fourth wall a little bit. You know, I was certainly nervous. And maybe it's not everybody's cup of tea to put themselves out here. I kind of identify as an introvert, but that's not to say that I can't do this. I have to just by trade, profession. I don't want to say trade because I'm not building anything. It's a profession. It's white collar, but it's more of an energy cost for me. And that's how my introversion, I don't know, displays itself or pronounces itself, is I have a limited amount of energy. There are things that are going to drain me more than others, but I don't have a problem putting myself out there and talking or being an idiot or sounding stupid, because I'm all of those things at some point in my life. And I feel like, you know, the 15 or 20 minutes talking to you, we've just scratched the surface. It's like, we're old friends who never met.
Right.
And I kind of feel the same thing with Adam, and I feel the same thing with the community. You've mentioned this before. There is a great community for the two hosers. We're very supportive. We're very appreciative. And, you know, sometimes you just have to get out of your comfort zone and put yourself out there. And that's not an indirect shot at Bob or anything to say like, Hey, come on an interview. We'd love to hear you. But, you know, there was one challenge where I flubbed it. You know, I had this grand vision, and I didn't put my effort into it. I should have brought more stands down for lights. I should have saw my vision out, but it was the, you know, it's two nights before the show goes. Not sure when they're recording, got to do something. And it was a wreck. So you may remember, because I posted it after the recording intentionally, just to say, hey, I spent some energy on this. It's not what I wanted, but here it is.
Remind me which one it was.
The drum set. Yeah, it was, and I'm on my own Instagram. I have to go back and find it. It was.
I need to see it now too.
Yeah, it was in November. I guess the October challenge surprised me.
Okay.
And I just put up a post about how, you know, I have to make better photos. I think I'm comfortable to the point in my life where I can, I don't know, 75% comfortable, where I can technically pull off a photo. Like, I know what's there. I feel like for my growth, I want to get to the point where the camera gets out of the way. You know, I want to be more artistic. I want to be able to more instantaneously. And I think, Alan, yourself, Adam, and some of the listeners have that skill. I do not. You know, everything for me is hard-earned. You know, it takes a while to click, but when I get it, I get it. But I would really like to see myself in a point where I can just kind of pull out the camera and not have to worry about the settings.
Sure. That's the goal. I mean, right. For most people, yeah. And the kicker is every new camera that you get, they change the settings. So
yes,
you're in bigger trouble. Muscle memory is everything.
I'm experiencing that now going to mirrorless with the R6. It's different enough. And settings I've had, my setups for different situations are now different, and I have to revisit that and put some thought into it.
It wasn't broke. So Scott, thanks a lot for taking the time to stop in.
Yeah, I have one more parting tip, and this goes with the go bag.
Uh-huh.
Because it's probably saved me more than I know on international travel is, If you're walking around and you got a bag, put a paper clip around your zippers. Just put a paper clip between your two zippers when you close the bag, and that's a good deterrent.
For thieves.
I'm sure for thieves, yeah, or anybody who wants to meddle with your bag. You know, I feel like just that visual deterrent is enough. Like having a dog, right? It's like having a dog for your go bag.
Okay, good tip.
Yeah. So, sorry I floundered on my second option. I have a whole list of photographers that I wrote down. And And literally, I have all Hoser photographers because I think there's 348 people following two Hosers. I think I follow 47 of them. So, you know, there's a lot of people here that maybe just follow, maybe you're hesitant to participate, but the ones who have put up and tagged, they're all good. Pick any. Okay. And you'll be a winner.
I will. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, Alan.
And we're back.
Yes.
That was, yeah, I learned a lot about Rhode Island.
And brows.
No, we didn't talk about that. I wish I had thought of it.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I made some other puns that were, okay. All right. That were great. They were great. But now it hasn't happened yet. Scott said he's going to send me some of his other photos that he does not post on Instagram that we can share on our website so people can see what it is that he does.
Okay. What does he do? Just give me the Cole's Notes version.
I barely listened while we were talking. Okay.
All right. Perfect. All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was just trying to sound interested, by the way. I was just trying to sound interested.
We talked about he enjoys shooting bird photos.
Okay, all right.
Which require him to get up at 2 in the morning. I can't just repeat the whole conversation.
Okay, no.
Other people listen.
Other people listen. Don't repeat it for me. All right.
Yeah, you'll just be a giant mystery for you.
Okay.
And no way to solve it.
Yeah.
So once again, thanks, Scott. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Scott.
So,
yeah.
What I did at the end, like right in the middle of talking to him yesterday, it occurred to me I had what I would call a eureka moment.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, you know how this should go? Is the listener, whoever gets hosed this episode, gets to name who gets hosed next time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know. It's like I invented something. It's like I invented Secret Santa before there was Secret Santa.
Sure.
And so...
Pay it forward, Scott Borowy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I ended up like, this is mid conversation. So I just threw it to him. I'm like, you know what? Let's just do this in real time. And remember Leon Lett?
Was he a football player?
Oh, no, it wasn't Leon Lett. It wasn't. Who was the guy who fumbled that year? I forget, but who, remember, ran the ball back to the 1 yard line, was hot dogging, and then fumbled the ball?
That's happened a lot Buffalo. Of times, but yeah.
No, but it's one of the most famous ones of all time, because when Buffalo lost 4 years in a row in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I remember.
And then, buddy, I can't remember the dude's name who ran it back to, he didn't go back to the house, he went back to the front porch and then just fumbled it.
Okay,
whatever. It's a better joke if I know his name and just drop it and walk away.
All right.
Instead of just writing my own Wikipedia page for an event that probably didn't happen. So right. There's that. Point being, I threw it out there in real time, and Scott didn't fumble. He got it right, but I'm not sure if it's going to happen. As I said on the show, I actually already asked Bob Bernal to do it, and he was busy cat, so he couldn't. And or wouldn't, I don't know. And we didn't come up with a alternative. So what I'm saying is I will find someone for next time, but that person should be ready to name the one after that.
Mm.
And so on it goes. Like, gotcha. Who do you want to hear from, for example?
Right.
Like next time I'm going to talk to your mom. That's who I'm going to. Me and Judy are going to have a little
get ready for a 4-hour episode.
Yeah, all about why you don't call her anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so there's that. All right. And you can find his Instagram. You know where to find Scott's Instagram, but we'll post a link on our site. Monthly challenge for May is flowers. Up to you if it's multiple or not. Hashtag that. Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, tag us at Two Hosers. On the Instagram, and we'll talk about that. Challenge for next week is cool background.
Cool background.
Basically, I would say fence, but fence. There's no good fences in Germany. They don't like fences.
Let's leave it more open. So cool background has a multitude of options. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. So mine will probably just be like a maroon wall, but go with it. I already have the light set up still, so there's that. I'll probably just do that with a hair light, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
Don't want to give it away. All right, website, Adam, there's no website for you, but you can be found where?
Adam Two Hosers on Instagram. My goal is to put something up there weekly, some photos. So there might be the same photos, it might be different photos, I don't know, but on from our photo walk. So check that out, Adam Two Hosers on Instagram.
All right. And Steveson Adam on the TikTok. You can find him there.
Yeah, I don't know what TikTok is, but
no, me neither.
Yeah,
I didn't think you could find him there. I wonder if there's a Steveson Adam on TikTok. There's got to be. I'll find it.
There's a thing all Jack and his baseball friends say all the time when they're at the field. They often warm up and throw the football around, and they all quote best hands on TikTok. Like there's some guy that like every week posts a video of him catching a football with one hand, but he always first puts something really slippery on his hands before he does it, and he always just says best hands on TikTok. So they all quote this, and when they throw the football, they all try to make one-handed grabs and say best hands on TikTok. So that's what I know about TikTok. There's one guy out there
owns best. Yeah, he owns four houses on the west side of.
He probably does. Yeah, he's like it looks like, because Jack showed me a video. It looks like he's probably, you know, I don't know, high school football player guy, but he's maybe aged out of high school football. But he's probably making a killing making one-handed grabs. So I think it was rainbow sherbet this last week on his on his hand.
or we'll give him that two hosers bump.
Yeah. You know who it is. It's whatever the guy's name is. Best hands on TikTok. That's how he starts every video.
I'm sure if I just say, hey, Siri. It's not coming up. I thought it'd come up.
Yeah.
Why is it not coming up? Maybe because I'm talking. That's why. Okay. Oh, there it is. Where'd it go? Who has the best hands on TikTok, Siri? No, she's not interested. All right. My website, you can find me at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.